The Kingdom of God series. And today, I think what we're going to do is that we're going look at the story of the rich young man. Young man who's had born with a silver spoon in his mouth. A young man who has everything that he's ever asked for. Still lacking one thing. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 19, we're going to go from verse 16 to verse 30. I think all of us believe that our salvation is free, right? It's a grace of God. It's a gift of God. So no one can boast. It is hard to argue against that because the flip side of that is our salvation is purchased, earned by merit on our parts. But, it's free. A lot of time we had this connotation, free means that it doesn't require anything from you. That's what free means. You get free gifts. But in Jesus' story, and then in the scripture, there is also something about giving up. Giving up something that has been part of your life from the very beginning. Given to God what we seem precious, or giving to God that which are familiar to us. These are all seems to be great challenges for us. We have no problem accepting the free salvations from God, but we have lots and lots of challenges of giving up something when God is asking. When God is asking, I just find this very interesting. Is that when God asks for something, does he need that? Is that for your good or for his good? Right? You think about that. We think that we are giving up something, giving to God, maybe increase his wealth, increase his glory, increase his majesty, but no. I think keep that in mind because the story tells us that. So there is free gift of salvation, but then he also God says you have to give up something. But unless we give up, we can never gain that which God wants to give us. Unless you give up, you cannot gain. You cannot receive what God wants to give you. And so this is the story of the morning. To give up what we hold on dearly, to gain what God wants to give us fully. Let me repeat that. Give us what we hold on dearly, to gain what God wants to give us fully. So Matthew 19. Now the man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mothers, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciple, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciple heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Jesus answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words, but Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to take these words to our heart. Bring convictions to us. Bring renewal to us, like you have promised us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You know, this young man has lots of issues. If you really look at it, deep into it, he has issues. And that these are the things that prevent him from enter into the kingdom of God, from obtaining eternal life. These issues, let me just list some of the issues. First of all, his issue is that he is lack of any convictions. No convictions. He knows his needs. He says, I want eternal life. He knows what he's seeking. He values spiritual life over his present life. Maybe because he feels not satisfied with present life. But his lack of conviction, because he comes to Jesus. What does he call him? He calls him teacher. He did not call him Lord like his disciple calls him. He certainly did not confess like Peter confessed that you are the Messiah, the Son of living God. He calls him teacher. So what does that mean? That means that he felt maybe Jesus can point him to the right way, give him some wisdom on how to obtain eternal life. But then it's still up to him to decide whether he wants to do it or not. It's like a, workshop. Jesus is giving a how to obtain eternal life workshop. And you want to listen or not, it's up to you. So there is really no conviction of who Jesus is. So that often prevents us from receiving Jesus Christ. Or if we had received Jesus Christ, we still don't have the conviction that he is the Lord, the sovereign Lord of all, sovereign Lord of your life. So this issue is something that you always will struggle with. But in the beginning, if you have not don't have the conviction that he is the Savior of the world, it is very difficult for you to enter into the kingdom of God, because it is his kingdom. He is the king. So lack of convictions. So for the young man, the rich young man, Jesus is the wise teacher, but not the sovereign Lord of his life. So that's the first thing, no convictions. Second thing, second issue that this young man has that prevents him from entering into the kingdom. You know, we saw this kind of in the dialogue, you saw this. And Jesus is trying to address that when Jesus spoke to him. The second thing is that he is boastful. Boastful. You know why? Jesus says, okay, you want to do that? Okay, let me tell you what to do. You do the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th commandment. You just have to do that. I mean, you say you want an eternal life, right? Okay, just go do 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th commandment. That is what? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And he added, love your neighbor as yourself. We're not going into, he added the extra ones. Love your neighbor as yourself. But nevertheless, the young man says, I did them all. I did it. He says what? All these I have kept. The young man said, all this I have kept. You know what is the purpose of the law? If you read Romans 3:20, the purpose of the law is not so that you can obey and boasting about it. The purpose of the law is to reveal that you are sinful. You cannot keep it. And because you cannot keep it, you are sinful. The reason you cannot keep it because you're sinners. That's the purpose of the law in Romans 3:20. It is not for you to come before the lawgiver and says, I did it. So what else I need to do? So for a person who prevent him from entering into the kingdom of God, the second part of his second issue that he will have to overcome is his pride. His pride. I know this is not true. You know, Christianity just, invented stories. And all these people think that they know everything. They are the ones that prevented from going into the kingdom of God. But, you know, in his heart, he feels something is still lacking, right? In verse 20, what do I still lack? Something in this young man, after he kept all this, commandments, what I still lack? He has maybe a sense of lust, a lack of joy, a sense of hopelessness in his heart. Even with him obeying, he says, all this commandment, something is still missing. Something's still missing. And Jesus put the hands on what is preventing him, specifically for him. Specifically for him. The first two are pretty general, lack of convictions, pride of life. But then the third one is specific to him. And we find that out to be his issue of wealth, what he sees money. Jesus spoke to the young man's true desire is desire to obtain eternal life. But to the young person, eternal life is added value to his life. It's added value. Like, I have a big house. I have a great car. I have a happy marriage. Eternal life is just another component to make my life full. Make my life with hope. give my life peace and purpose. So it is component. I got the wealth, I got the marriage, I have the children, I have a career, and then now I need to have eternal life to make my life complete. That is what the young man is thinking. That's what a young man is thinking. And I think that's what a lot of us are thinking. You know, we just need to add a component, add a little salt to this dish to make it all tasteful. And then Jesus says, No. Eternal life is the only thing that will give you purpose. Eternal life is the only thing that will bring hopelessness, hope to hopelessness. Eternal life is the only thing that will give you joy. But to get that, you got to give up something. You got to give up all these other components of your life. All these other components. Jesus only identified wealth for him. But then later on, Jesus identified a lot of other things in the person's life. He says, you need to give up these things to gain that one thing that you need. I don't know. I mean, you guys are so young. You haven't really been tempted to keep all these things. Maybe a little bit, you know. Whatever you deem valuable, you want to keep. Maybe not money, because you don't have any money. But friends could be, you know. Other things, I don't know what young people keep considered precious. Maybe grades. Studies, which is a good thing, right? It's a keep it. Huh? Cell phone, yeah. You know, my daughter challenged me. She said, Dad, Mom, you need to give up something during Lent. Lent is Easter. There's like 30 days that you give up something to God. You know, she challenged us to give up all electronic media. I said, I can do it for one day, but for 30 days, that's really, really tough. But this is the point Jesus made. He says, okay, now you had to do what? If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. You can't. I mean, Jesus put the hands on the problem of this young man. This young man, he has too much money. And that had blinded him to what is the most valuable. He wanted to add it to his life, but he doesn't want that to be his whole life. Would he do it? Would he do it? How much is eternal life worth to you? For most of us, we want to have both. We want to have earthly treasure, but we also want to have heavenly treasure. Our struggle. This herein lies our struggles. Herein lies our struggles. Because the eternal life constantly clashes with our wishes, what we want to keep. Constantly clashes with the things that we are unwilling to give up. Constantly clashes with wealth in our mind, success, security, but eternal lives is all about trust, faith, obedience to God. This is constantly clashing. I feel that we are like the young man in many respects. Eternal life, kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, is not all of our lives. It's part of our lives. And Jesus takes no second place in your life. So Jesus confronted him with this dilemma. So he had to decide, what am I going to do? Do I sell everything and then give it to the poor and then follow him, follow Jesus? He didn't say sell 90% of your stuff. He said sell everything. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Or maybe not everything. He just says sell your possessions and give it to the poor. He didn't say everything. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. You know, there is an exchange. God is saying, okay, everything you have on earth, you can actually take it to heaven. You know how do you do it? You sell everything. And then God says, then you will have treasure in heaven. Then you have treasure. Your treasure on earth can move to heaven by selling everything. Give it to the poor. Then you have treasure in heaven. That's exchange. That's an exchange that Jesus offered the young man. And then you can follow him. Then you can follow me. So, here is the test, right? Here is the test. Are you willing to give up that which is most precious to you? Now, for the young man, it's his wealth. For you, I don't know. But I can imagine some people who come to know the Lord, and then they still have a lot of baggages they carry with them. You know, I think about your personalities. You were a cruel person, but after you become a Christian, maybe you still practice cruelties. Maybe you were a bitter person, but after you become a Christian, you still continue to extend that bitterness, unforgiveness. I mean, there are things you hold on to you don't even know, and Jesus says, give that up. Then you can have the fullness of eternal life. The fullness of eternal life. You know, when Jesus says that we receive him, we will have eternal life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. And I think most of us stop at, oh, we're just happy to have eternal life. But there is that component, there is the abundant life. We didn't think too much about that. But for the abundant life to really come into your life, for you to experience this, you have to give up something in exchange for that fullness of life. You have to give up something. You know, God is not going to give you things when you don't give up things. And God always do the exchange. And God is always have the best interest of you in mind. You give him something, he'll give you something. You give him that is perishable, he give you things that is imperishable. You give him a rusty old coin, he give you gold bricks. But it's always about exchanging. God is always asking for exchange. Young man, unwilling to exchange because he's unwilling to give up. What happened to him? What happened to him? Verse 22. When the young man heard this choice, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He started with a really seeking heart for spiritual life, for that which is valuable, that which is eternal. Jesus gave him an answer. Jesus challenged him. Jesus identified for him what is preventing him from obtaining this. He did not want to make the exchange. So he ended up sad. And then, you know, and Jesus, of course, made a statement about it's hard for a rich man to go into heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle. This that does not mean that all rich men are done. You know, if you're rich, you're done. Only a poor man is in heaven. I don't think so. I think Jesus also tells you for man it's impossible, right? For man it's impossible, but for God, everything is possible. You can be rich and still get into heaven when you don't see your riches as something that belongs to you and you are unwilling to part with. You know, all these great wealthy men in America, you guys know Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett. At one time, he was the richest man, but I don't think he is now. You know, you have other people whose wealth surpassed him. He is the one that he said when he died, he's going to give his hundreds of billions of dollars away. He's not keeping it. He's not giving it to his children to make generation wealth. He's going to give it away. He said that the wealth will only ruin their lives. His children's life. His children is not poor. I mean, he's given them a couple million dollars here and there, you know. But compared to billions, he did not leave them anything. He knows the value. He can't take it to heaven. So the rich wealth has its purpose to do good. But, you know, what is interesting is that the disciple heard this, verse 25, and they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? For the disciple's mind, only the rich people can be saved. Maybe because they make more offerings in the temple. Maybe they do a lot of good work. So these require money. So the disciples think only the rich men have already earned their way to heaven. And Jesus says, no, it's hard for them to go to heaven. There are challenges for the rich. But the reaction of the disciples kind of shows at that time the culture, understanding of riches, even with God. And then Peter answered him, verse 27, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? What about us? We love everything. We give up everything. There must be something good for us at the end. And Jesus says, oh, yes, Your sacrifice will be noted. And then Jesus says these things. Anyone who has left house, brother or sister or father or mother or children or field for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit the eternal life. You know, as I look back in this whole story, it's a continuous story of the rich young man and then goes to the disciples and then Jesus teaching. You know, you look at the questions that these people ask. I'm not talking about Jesus asks, but these people, the rich young man. What do I still lack? How do I get eternal life? How do I get eternal life? And the Peter said, what about us? You know, we give up everything. What about us? Do I still receive something? Do I get something? Do I get it? How do I receive eternal life? I think for us, for man, it's always about receiving, getting from God. Getting, receiving from God. What Jesus wants them to understand is that in order for you to get something from God, you need to give up. You need to give up something. You know, when Jesus saved us, we come from all different places to come before the cross and receive Jesus Christ. Your life is forever changed from that point on. From that point on. And from that point on, you know, this giving up something is a progress. It's progressive. In other words, Jesus, like to the young man, he's asking him, the first thing is that your wealth. Give me your wealth. Give it to the poor. Give me your wealth. But I'm sure as he willing to do that and give up his wealth, there are other things that Jesus will continue to ask along your spiritual journey. There is not going to be one time when Jesus is not asking something from you. Because you know why? It's not that he's never satisfied with you. No, because Jesus wants to give you something better. You don't give up, you cannot receive. You don't give up, you cannot receive. And a lot of time we're unwilling to give up because we are like the rich young man who thinks, if I give it up, what would happen to me? Well, like the disciples, you know, we already give up. What is there for me? What do I receive from God if I give this up? You know, we can get, there's many things. If you broaden that giving up, from the wealth, there's so many things that you can think of that you still keep it to yourself. You keep it to yourself. That prevents you from fully enjoy what God meant to give to you. Because that young man went away sad. Because he wants to keep on holding that. He went away sad. I think for most of us, when we are unwilling to give up, we are not able to fully enjoy what God has meant for us. Or we don't know what a full, abundant life is like. Because we're so used to this. Jesus offered the young man a way forward. I don't know how many of you know Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary who was killed by the Ecuadorian jungle people. They're unreached, people. So he's a missionary. He wants to reach out to this Uca people in Ecuador. And him and five other people went in. I mean, they already sort of kind of been there and then established, learned the language for years before they actually venture out to meet with this headhunters group. And the second time they met them, they were all speared to death. This is back in 1957. It was a big thing. It's a big thing. At that time, when missionary got killed, it's all over the newspaper. And then later on, the story goes. There's a book his wife wrote, Elizabeth Elliot wrote, called Through the Gates of Splendor. Through the Gates of, it talk about, how these five missionaries decided to go to jungle, and how God called them to there. And then Elizabeth Elliot and her only daughter, and her and Jim's only daughter, went back to Ecuador, live among that tribes for 3-4 years to see one, the first convert into Christianity. Jimmy Elliot said a very famous quote. I think most of the people know. Old people like us know. He says this. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool to gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that is the exchange Jesus wants to make with us. That's the exchange that Jesus is telling the young man. Give that up. Then you get this. I hope that we will not be that like the young man. When Jesus seek from us, we're willing to give up. Otherwise, you will always go away sad. You will always go away sad. Well, may God bless his word. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.